Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
We'll get Jason Jones in here. Jason, hang on one second. Jason. Hang on. Come here. Shut the door. Hey. Okay.
We're on the radio.
No, we are live. Can you tell Aaron to untuck his polo shirt, please? Can you? I know you saw it. Why did he tuck it in? He never does that.
Ken's reaction makes me feel like we're not the only ones with this thought.
Has everyone? Is he going golfing?
I am a golfer now.
Okay. No, I need you to focus on the task.
Kim Woods.
Is he going golfing?
No, he doesn't have any laundry.
Okay. All right. That's all. I just, you and Stacey are not supposed to let this stuff slide.
I will let her know.
Please let her know.
You didn't have to let the entire, let the people know
the entire chatty house is uncomfortable with that. So let Stacey know. Thank you. We're going to bring, we're going to bring Jason in.
I don't see the correlation, by the way, but.
Yeah. And then, isn't he wearing jeans?
No, he is wearing jeans.
So that's the, if he had khakis on, yeah, you'd tuck it in. Not with the jeans.
All right. Chatty house want to see, I'll bring him in here. Just kidding.
Okay. No, don't do that. All right. Thank you, Kimberly. As we welcome in our good friend Jason Jones, who's probably a little confused by what.
It sounds like someone's struggling, right?
Dad, it's not. And I noticed it like the second I saw him, I was like, should I say something?
So
like,
the polo was tucked into the jeans?
Into the jeans.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
And he never does that.
Yeah,
like, I don't.
That was the surprising part about it. He usually knows better.
It was tough.
Did someone dress him today? Like, Did someone? Did someone be like, "Hey, this will look real nice if you do this"?
I'm not sure. It's been tough. Like, because he walks by and it's like, Aaron. Like,
what you every doing? Time you see it, you want to say something.
Yeah, every time. Chester, there's definitely a belt. He's definitely got a belt on.
It's always just to help him out. Belt.
That would just. To do that without a belt is just like criminal. I mean, not that this is not that what he's doing is like any less criminal, but I mean, if you do that with no belt, we're talking like some unsolved mysteries, like America's Most Wanted profile. Like, you got a Netflix profile coming up, and someone's going to say on the show, "I knew it was a problem when I used to see him walk around with that polo and no belt." That's when you'd be like, "Oh yeah." He would definitely be, a three-part Netflix series.
And if that's the case, Aaron, you're my boy. I never had an issue. You're my guy. You're my guy.
I've been watching too many of those lately. So, yeah, I need to get back to my happy place with my TV watching because I got sucked into the Lacey Peterson one. Then I had to
I watched that, too.
And I was just like, wow, he was really a scumbag in this. Hmm. Like, moving all the office stuff into the nursery, talking about I want my wife to come back, and he turned the nursery into a storage room. Yeah. Like, man.
Sold the car.
Did you guys?
Yeah. You did a lot, and he did a lot of things where you would be like, oh, yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing about that whole documentary that said, I miss my wife. It was like, oh man, she's been gone for a month. Let me sell her car. Like,
there's another one with him.
Yeah, I watched a couple of parts of that too, where I guess there's like the Innocence Project or someone like trying to take his case.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, if you watch the Netflix one first, you'll be like, there's no way in hell.
did you guys see did you guys watch Steve McNair?
Oh yeah, I had to write about that. That was
I had it like it was. I was like, I don't know that I'm up for this. Like, it was on my screen. And I was like, I don't know if I'm up for this.
I was not a fan of it.
You were not a fan of the documentary itself, or it was just a difficult watch?
No, of the documentary itself.
I got you.
It just felt like it felt very incomplete. It felt I got a bunch of random Houston Oiler history. Mm. Like, I don't really care why the Oilers moved to Tennessee. Like, I don't really care about Steve Fisher getting the job from, you know, whatever. And I just didn't, there was the stuff to me that it didn't seem like it fit. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, well, Steve, what did you say to McNair after the Super Bowl? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does that matter now? Yeah. Like, I wanted to try to understand why someone who was 36 and married had a 19-year-old girlfriend he took out in public. Mm. Like, to me, there were other, I was like, if you were just going to rehash the Wikipedia page, we could have just left Steve's football legacy where it is.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need to, you know, I think there's a part where Brad Hopkins says that he wants Steve's legacy to be more than a guy who died at the hands of a mistress. But I'm like, with this doc, that's all it is.
Right.
Like, you don't learn more about, you know, they mention like, well, Steve did charity. You don't learn about Steve.
Right.
You know, his widow's not in there. His family's not in there. It just really, it's less than an hour. I just kind of felt like some of the untolds really hit the mark. To me, this wasn't one of them.
Mm.
I don't think it kind of reminded me of the Florida Gator one last year, where you're like, there's so many things you could have done, and we get Brandon Spikes. Like, we don't get, or whatever, whoever we got, we don't get the Pouncey twins. Mm. Like, we don't get somebody named Aaron Hernandez, Cam Newton. I mean, all, you know, it's like, yeah, I just kind of felt like I could have just read the Wikipedia. I don't know what that really accomplished. It, you know, we did learn that the boyfriend of the woman who killed him was a big Steve McNair fan.
That's
crazy. And that she was like texting him in front of the ex-boyfriend.
Jeez.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Which made me think, well, how would I have felt if my girlfriend was like texting Bo Jackson? like what would I do? You know.
Yeah.
But it was just like, okay. I mean, if anybody got I just wasn't a big fan of it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't met a lot of people who were a big fan of it. I mean, I watched the Signal Stealer one today.
I mean,
how was that? Like, how did it show how fraudulent Michigan's accomplishments were last
year?
What the
hell? What is that all
about?
They
really went out of their way to show that even though this happened, they were really good.
No, they were beating the hell out of people.
Well, yeah, they had the game plan and the film on everybody.
Stop it.
I mean, and that one had a lot of stuff. Like, he wouldn't fess up that he was the dude at the Central Michigan game with the goatee and, you know.
A lot of sketchy characters at Michigan.
It hasn't been proven that he was.
Yeah, they threw out the Ohio State angle in there, you know, that Ohio State was the one that leaked what was going on.
Well, that's probably true.
Free rats.
Yeah.
Probably true.
I mean, there's a lot of sketchy stuff in there, and it felt like that one tried to kind of portray Stallion of like some type of like, not necessarily like a hero to a degree. Like, well, you know, he was hero. Just, you know, a hardworking guy who always wanted to be in Michigan. He just loved the school so much, and he was just better at just, you know, breaking down these signals. You know, they're like, you know, than anyone else was.
Hey, blue collar guy. Mind.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. I mean, look, you know, they try to paint all this other stuff on him. Look, man, he was just a scout, blue collar, hard worker, and he's a guy that just really loved University of Michigan.
He's been banned for 3 years.
He didn't do it. He didn't do nothing.
Your coach has been suspended for a
year. There's a
reason
why Jim Harbaugh just was like, okay, we won this chip. Bye.
Mission accomplished.
He was suspended for half the season.
Yeah, because it was Michigan versus everybody. You know that. You saw it on the shirts.
Yeah. I always love the narrative of the NCAA picking on one of the blue bloods. Like, we're going to – let's go pick – we all know how that goes. They go pick on Michigan State. They want to pick on somebody. Go pick on like Indiana.
No, you know.
And then they're like, there's other people out there doing the same thing. Like, and then, yeah, but it's
we persevere.
That one is tricky for me because I was like, yeah, you might be still. You still got to, you know. To me, most times in football, there aren't a whole lot of secrets about what everyone does. So, do I think that it would have given them an advantage? Yeah. Do I think that's why Michigan was good? Not completely, no. I mean, they had a good team. But, you know, the doctor, I mean, they go with him to the doggone championship game. He talked about
beat Ohio State's ass.
He talked about him being in public and people taking pictures with him. But I guess didn't he like not get his little high school, his high school's coaching job got taken away last week?
Poor guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have all the pictures when he was a little kid and he wanted to be Bo Schembechler for Halloween. Man. I was like, this poor kid.
Schembechler.
I don't know why that's so funny.
Jesus.
Like, what 7-year-old says I want to be in the 90s or whatever? I want to be Bo Schembechler.
That's wild.
I mean, absolutely, for God's sake, Lloyd Carr was the coach by then, probably. Like, what little 7-year-old like, I'm going to be Bo, like, you know, he had such a rough life. He had to go to the Naval Academy, you know. I mean, just such a rough. You know, what a martyr he is for the Michigan cause.
He is. He really is. I can't wait to watch that.
He ended up getting himself a whole documentary out of it. I mean, poor guy.
And at the end of the day, he still wasn't on the sidelines of Central Michigan, even though we saw
him. I'm sure when they went to halftime, he's on there like, somebody had a series of text messages waiting on him. He was like, I'm not cheating. I'm just smarter than everyone.
Maybe I'm misremembering this. Didn't we literally see him on the sideline? And he says, no, yes. I wasn't.
Yes, he had glasses and a hat on. That was the disguise.
Yeah, that was the Central Michigan one, yeah. And they show, like, the whole little hearing. He was like, were you at the Central Michigan game? He goes, I don't recall. Like, you don't remember a game you were at, like, a few months ago? I don't recall where I was that day.
I do not recall.
Yeah. No suspicious behavior.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm a kid in the 80s again. And I'm like, I don't recall. If he would have went Sosa and said, I don't understand, I would have just fell out. The Sosa one's an all-timer. My man was selling Pepsi. He got before them. Then people was like, I don't speak English.
My man
was on TV every day in 98, 99. I need an interpreter. I don't know what y'all saying.
Talking about Mark McGwire, how much he loves Mark and everything. Forget baseball.
They're such hypocrites.
That is spectacular.
I agree. Forget baseball.
In the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
That man is the epitome of a Hall of Famer.
not for baseball.
Yeah, I know it.
I'm like, baseball is the epitome of just don't get caught.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me all those guys, you know, like what was they were joking about the Royd matchup of all time, Eric Gagne against Barry Bonds in the ninth.
Goodness
gracious.
Like,
and we all knew these guys were juicing. We were enjoying this. All these buff pitchers all of a sudden.
Right.
And then you got randomly have Greg Maddux in the mix, who looks like a teacher. Then Roger Clemens comes back looking like freaking AJ Styles. Just like,
no, the killer is like somebody like Gagne, who this guy was a fringe AAA player, and then all of a sudden, just unhittable for 3 years.
He didn't blow a save for like 3 years.
Just unhittable.
It was like guys came back with their hat size was like a half inch bigger. It was like, what'd you do? Supplements, GNC.
Maptrition.com. Promo code DLO 1320.
Just back acne out of the blue. It's like, oh, what are you? No, we all look like Hulk Hogan now.
Been working out.
Well, let's leave his name out of this.
Let's leave him, Gardner Minshew, and Max Crosby.
Oh, well, man.
Shout out to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Well.
4-13 confirmed.
Yeah, that's tough. I was like,
wow, they're really going to double down on this. I said, somewhere Nick Bosa's jealous. Like, I want to be there.
Request a trade.
Wait a day. He's like, we're playing them in a couple of days. You guys couldn't wait for me.
You're gonna request a trade.
He's gonna be like, here. I just wanted to be in the picture. Like, Bosa's like, it's lit now. Yeah, the weird times in sports. Weird times.
We have waited 2 days to talk about this with you. We actually haven't even had a chance to talk about it amongst ourselves. But Deion Sanders is in the news.
Yeah.
He has banned a Denver Post reporter from asking questions. He hasn't banned this individual from the facility. He's just banned them from asking questions. And it's created an interesting dialogue over the past couple of days in which Deion has been called everything from unprofessional to childish. And this writer has the in Colorado was clear. Deion Sanders was clear. He felt that the writer wasn't criticizing the program or talking about, you know, the program or Deion. He was taking personal shots at Deion by using lines like false prophet, Planet Prime, Bruce Lee of BS, the Deion Kool-Aid, and he called the program a circus at one point as well. Deposition Deion was another name that they used.
My man came in with the high heat. He's like,
Jay, you've been a writer for a very, very long time and a member of the media. Where do you stand? You are the professor. You have teaching class on this. What are your thoughts on this situation with Deion and the Denver Post in Colorado?
It, to me, the weirdest part is like it's just like an announcement and we all know what's going on. I mean, these type of little battles happen over the course of a season. You know, you get got next question or you get a real, you know, you get a real short answer and people start going, what that's about. You go, yeah, you know, they got beef, whatever, whatever the case may be. And generally these things are handled behind closed doors. I mean, yeah, he gave him some, you know, whatever. I don't think any of that stuff is, you know, I'm not going to talk to you worthy. But then again, people have always said that Deion's kind of thin skinned, which is crazy. That prime time would be kind of thin skinned. I mean, you look at his playing days. He had situations where he didn't like stuff. Remember, he had a situation at Jackson State where I believe the reporter called him Deion and not Coach. Mm-hmm. And he went on the whole rant about you wouldn't call Nick Saban Nick. And the guy was like, I actually would call Nick Saban Nick. I mean, and that's just a weird media thing. There's some people in the media who say, I don't call him Coach because they're not my coach.
That's perfectly fair.
And me, because I played sports growing up, I just call him Coach because I call him Coach. And it's not a matter of like it's not a big deal to me. But, you know, I've had coaches that I just call Coach.
The only guy I remember interviewing that I wouldn't call Coach is George Carl. I actively refuse to call that man Coach.
Like, so George.
That's what I did. Like, I would not call that man Coach.
And there, I mean, a lot of times, this is earlier in my career, I leaned more in the coach because a lot of times these guys were way older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Now the age gap is kind of closed. So it's kind of like you're talking more and more to peers. Like there's guys I covered who are coaching now. So it's like, I'm trying to, you know, there's some guys I know who are player, like, you know, say, I don't know, like say Reggie Evans gets a job on a staff. I'm not gonna be a Coach Evans. That's Reggie. Mm-hmm. Like even a guy like Ime Udoka, I've never called him coach. I call him Ime because that's who I covered. So this, though, it feels petty. It feels like a scare tactic for the rest of the people out there. I mean, I haven't been out there, but I've heard that essentially that media core has been turned into basically like a praise team. Like no one will say anything bad because they don't want to get this kind of treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how true that is, but it is, you know, because the thing is, too, is just as reporters, especially now that the press conferences are on TV, it can be pretty embarrassing. You say something and everyone's watching the coach pretty much clown you in front of everyone, because in that situation, no one ever thinks the coach or the person behind the microphone is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, and I mean, and I've heard worse about people. I mean, not about him, but I mean, I've heard worse names used for him, and maybe he feels like these things were personal. I want to know if there's another backstory. But not allow him to ask questions is, I think it's childish.
Sorry, Casey.
I was just going to say, I don't think it's necessary for Coach Prime to go about it that way. But I understand. The guy was like, he got to wear that. Like, he was taking shots. Like, it can't be, oh, I don't know why Deion would do this. You was taking shots, bro. Like, you know that. Now you're kind of hoping like Deion is maybe mature enough or shows enough grace to still like allow you to, you know, ask questions. But he got to wear that. If you're going to call him names and call him that way. Like, you've got to wear, like, yeah, I was doing that. And if he don't want to talk to me because of that, yeah, I was doing it. But yeah, don't act like
I've had
I don't
people
know.
That want to talk to me, and I knew why they didn't want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And it, I'm like, okay, but I, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, generally, they just don't play out in public. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people who were mad at me, you know, over a course of time. We talk privately. A lot of times it's like, you know, it's a misunderstanding, or maybe someone thought something was personal that wasn't. Mm-hmm. You talk it out and you move on. Right. And, you know, and it's, I don't know what's gained by this whole, you know, because I mean, and it's way more prevalent with college football. Mm-hmm. Like you saw the Lincoln Riley stuff last year. I mean, these guys, a lot of times, especially in college football, these guys are just
controlling. Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Control guys. Mm-hmm. And they can control this. The control they can exert over the media in college football is different. Like, you know, generally there's no open locker room in college football. Mm-hmm. They bring you the 2 or 3 guys you're going to talk to. Now you guys, like some of these schools are putting in rules that say you can't contact the player away from the facility or without the school's permission. Or if you see somebody out and about, you can't go interview. You know, there's a lot of this is about control. And I do think that, yeah, the guy was taking, I mean, I thought some of his lines were kind of corny, you know, but I could see why Deion wouldn't like him. But I don't think it was also necessary to say that he's not allowed to ask questions all season. I mean, there could be a point in a week or 2 or 3, 4 weeks where his question allows them to tell a story that's really important to the program.
True.
And are you going to stop that? Are you going to stop that because he called you what deposition Deion?
The false prophet is the one that it seems a lot of line, but the way I would look
at it. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is too, is part of it is the shift in the business. I mean, there was a time where maybe people in the media would joke like that privately, mm-hmm. but you would never get on the computer and say that about a person.
And that's my whole thing.
And the thing is now, you know, as crazy as it is, I'm willing to bet a lot of folks are clicking on that columnist right now to see what he's got to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I it's almost that, like you almost made, I never heard a dude to this. I wonder if in some ways it has the reverse effect. I mean, we're in a business now that's determined by clicks. And imagine how many clicks he's getting.
Yeah, for sure. And Dame, I want to hear what you, but the other thing I would say is, if I'm Deion, I can't talk to you like that. I can't call you names as a reporter and, you know, and not be looked at as a bully or something like that, or talk about your column and talk about your writing in that situation. So I'm being petty or whatever the case may be. You can talk about my team if we lost or whatever the case may be. You can do that. Don't call me no names. I can't do that to you. That's not the relationship that we have. Don't call me no names like that. And then expect for me to answer your question. You can stay here. Like Roddy's in here talking about don't ban him. He's not banned. He can still do his job. Deion just said he's not answering no questions from him. If that's,
and like I said, that actually happens more than people realize.
And that's an op-ed, right? Like, is that what that type of writing is called? Called an op-ed.
And a lot of those, and a lot of those guys get real courageous behind that keyboard.
And that's the thing that bothers me about this. This Deion thing just exemplifies it, is reporters, be it on television or clearly in writing, have gotten way too comfortable with the way that they talk about people in the public eye, be it professional athletes or professional coaches. You can feel Deion is soft if you want to, but why do you think that you can talk to that person like that? It's no different than what Skip and some of these other guys have done with basketball players, have done with athletes over the last handful of years. People in sports media have gotten way too comfortable with disrespectful language, and this language is absolutely disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And as you were saying a second ago, he's not banned. Like, just don't talk to me.
Right.
You could be here. You could do your writing, but you're writing an op-ed and you're trying to get my reaction to your question that's going to ultimately trash me. Because, again, you're not writing about the program. You're writing about me. The false prophet line is the perfect. That's the one that stood out to me, too. It's like there's something like to that. That's not like you clearly you're uncomfortable with the coverage that he's getting. You're uncomfortable with the way people are talking about him.
Yeah.
You're uncomfortable with the praise that he's gotten. And so you felt the need to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. You could still be here. You could still do your job for the Denver Post, but you've gotten way too comfortable in disrespecting me. And I think that goes to all of sports media, Jay, is they've gotten.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've always had a rule. Don't write or tweet something about someone you wouldn't say to him. Like I said, I've never gotten into name calling the best as I could call. I try to get into, you know, you get into name calling and, you know, getting things personal. My attitude is this, you know, if I'm covering Colorado and I call Dion a false prophet and he goes at me at the presser, I kind of earned that. Like, you know, I took my shot. He takes his shot. We move on, mm-hmm. you know, but maybe this thing has gone on too long, but there is a, you know, kind of like that joke. They say people get real tough and you can't punch them in the face. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys and men and women get on the keyboard and they just, you know, like I said, you know, you're covering a game and rather than say the guy missed a shot, you got to make fun of the guy when he misses the shot. And, you know, there's like the level of comfort when it comes to being disrespectful. Right. You know, it's gone to a new level now because of the era we're in where people are looking for their viral moment. Mm-hmm. And that's where I say in this one, maybe if Dion don't, if you don't, like I said, you've given this guy his viral moment now. Mm-hmm. I've never read one of these guys' columns.
Right.
And I didn't click on it for this, but there's a lot of people who did.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There was a time in the business where these two guys would go to a back room post press conference and hash. Maybe they've done that. And maybe he said, I'm going to call you what I want to call you. And if Dion doesn't want to answer the question, I mean, that happens a lot. I mean, there was a period of time, I don't know if it's still true, where LeBron would not answer any question from anyone from Yahoo because of Woj. Hmm. Like, I watched one time Mark Spears ask him a question on LeBron, looked at him like, next question. Hmm. All because he worked with Woj back then. Mm-hmm. So these things happen. It's just weird watching it play out like this. And it's crazy because I know, the media is going to all take the writer's side. Other people are going to take Dion's side. Like I said, I think in a lot of ways it does come off as childish. Mm-hmm. But I think we can both say both of them are probably being a little petty right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I imagine that if he got that list, long list of names he's called Dion, that wasn't the first time Dion was like, hey, man, chill.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that there had to have been some dialogue at some point. The announcement is crazy to me.
Didn't they talk? Was this the guy Dion was talking to like 2 weeks ago?
No.
No, it was a different person.
That was a CBS person.
Yeah.
And I still don't think we know what that's about.
I think Stephen A. Smith actually addressed that on his podcast, what that was about.
The CBS guy?
I thought Dion said
CBS
that.
One. I think what it was what Stephen A. said was there was a story that they had sent a black reporter to do. And then they took that black reporter off and put someone else on it, and Dion didn't like the way that reporter got treated.
Mm.
That's the story he told on his pod. Don't know how accurate that is. You know, in my interactions with him, he's always been good with me.
And he wound up talking to that reporter, by the way.
Yeah,
He didn't in that setting.
They came because he maybe a couple of days later he came back around and said we talked. We're good or whatever.
I don't think that happened.
I think he
grabbed the reporter and was like, it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get that point across. It's not you. I'll talk to you. Mm-hmm. But
gotcha. That's my
point. There
was saying that was the point that it wasn't about that reporter. It was about CBS. Mm-hmm. And I've been in case people were mad at my publications. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I didn't do it. Like, they'll be mad because some other person wrote something, but I work for the same place.
Mm.
Like, put it this way. Back when people at the B were hot and mad at DeMarcus Cousins, not only times he rolled his eyes at me because I work with those guys, but I said, be mad all you want. I didn't do it. But I also stood there and had the conversation. And I don't know if in 2024, the media and the players are having those conversations anymore. And I think in some cases you get some older people in the media who feel like these young guys don't know, there's a lack of respect going that way and vice versa. So there's I think there's probably a lot more to this story that we don't know, but the way it's going to come out, you know, coach ain't going to look good in this. Cause they're going to say, oh, you're being a bully. You're doing this, you know, but you know, I think I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, well, maybe he don't deserve to get no questions. I don't know. I don't know this guy. You know, there's been, and all of us have been in a press conference where we've rolled our eyes like, oh, they're letting him get the mic again. Oh, they please stop letting them ask. You know, we all have seen those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I would love to hear what the other people in that market feel about this writer.
Yeah.
Because they might be in the back going. Because, I mean, there's been times I've talked about the NFL where there was someone that a lot of people in the media didn't like. And when like a player would go off on them, people be in the back laughing like, good, got him. But I've been on the other side of that too, especially when it wasn't something I did. So I know how that can make a writer feel. One time Warren Sapp was mad. He was actually mad at Monty Poole, but he didn't realize somehow got me and Monty, who's way taller than me, confused. And one of his teammates said, no, Sapp, it's the other big black guy.
Oh, hang on. Speaking of the other big black guy, before we go, you want to give Jay his?
Well,
so I'm out on this one. We rank 1 to 10.
Swear to God, my
hands are clean on this one, Brett. I went to the number 6. But go ahead.
Has anybody ever said you look like Stokely,
the AEW wrestler?
Not the
no,
no, that guy. No, did you see him on Sunday? No. What was that Sunday? He had a little. Yeah. Maybe I should say he looked like Jason Jones. Jason didn't look like him.
I'm tired. I've gotten so many different people. I've never gotten Stokely.
Hang on.
We're not to be confused with Stokely from was it Mint Condition or After Sad? It was Mint Condition.
Mint Condition.
Yeah. That's what I was like. I'm like, oh no, I never got that. But you're like, oh.
Shout out to Stokely. I've gotten that. Yeah.
I've gotten Art Shell. I've gotten
Art Emmett Shell. Smith.
No, because if you find a picture of young Art Shell and young me, it's kind of scary.
Look, that one right there with the red tie. That
no, that does not look like Jason.
That's a little Jason. That's a little Jason.
That does not look like Jason Jones.
But I do not look like Stokely Hathaway.
But let me try young
Stokely
Art Shell. Can we get a young Art Shell in here? Well, that's a heavier Art Shell.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say Art Shell.
No, because when he got hired, I was going into the presser, and they're like, "Hey, you go this way." I'm like, "Wow!" They're like, "They thought I was his kid."
They thought you were his kid.
And I was like, "That is not my father." So I was in Vegas. I got Emmitt Smith. I keep getting Emmitt now.
Yeah. Well, when you grow the beard in a little bit deeper in the grays. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the only reason the girlfriend's a Cowboys fan. So when I have the beard, she's like, oh yeah, Emmitt jersey. And I had an Emmitt jersey back in the day, you know, way back in, you know, because back in Long Beach, we was all wearing blue and gray a lot. Wow. So, you know, I wore that blue and gray in Berkeley, and people got mad. I'm like, why y'all mad?
Yeah, we don't like
it's an
that,
Emmitt
though.
Jersey. Because yeah. Remember, there was a time where you just wore the jersey because it was the jersey.
Yep.
And nowadays, you know, like I would never wear that red hat he's got. I never wear that, you know.
Of course not.
I don't want, I don't want my scalp to like get an infection, you know.
We,
y'all got a left tackle yet?
Stop it.
We got to get out of here. We'll get
out. Who y'all voting for? Who y'all voting for?
Y'all spending Trent and Brandon's money on Wi-Fi.
Who Crosby voting for?
Hey, stop it. Stop for? It. Jay.
They ready to get Wi-Fi for Saturday. Hey, Trent.
Damn shame. No, he's still the Undertaker Street guy 10 times out of 10.
Oh, God.
Jay, we appreciate
you,
man.
And that dude to this day was like, I don't know what you're talking about, Jason. I wasn't at WrestleMania.
We'll see y'all tomorrow here on ESPN 1320.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.